change the evil person to a good person. Even in the battlefield, he tries to do all. So, all the, second thing is what? All the methods are utilized. He has used Sama, you know, Dana, Veda, Danda, all this done. Finally, the Lord has to take only his word to destroy. He will be very merciless. When it comes to that, Lord will be very merciless, because otherwise he has no choice. If he has to uphold dharma, he'll be even. So, nigraha in twofold ways, either by changing the person, making him see sense, if not possible, remove the person directly from the face of the earth. That's what he does. So, that is the question. Then, do we not call the God a cruel person? We cannot call him a cruel person, because this is the reason. For the sake of larger good, he has to do that. There is no choice. Okay. So, if we call that as compassion, then that is a misplaced compassion. It's not real compassion. It is a misplaced compassion. It is like removing, for example, a cancer. Somebody got a cancer in the body. The doctor has to cut and remove it. There is no choice. At that time, we cannot say the doctor is not compassionate. He is now cutting the person. He cannot say it, because there is no choice. The disease has to remove. So when there are big rakshasas, the Lord will try his very best to change them. If not possible, he will get rid of them. There is no choice. So he says, Dushkritam Vinashaya. So if dharmic people are more and adharmic people are less, then what will happen? Dharma will also be protected. If there are more dharmic people, adharmic people are very less, dharma will be protected. So he says, Dharma Samstapanarthaya. In that way, for the sake of reinstating dharma, because dharma has gone back, because adharma has taken over. Now, because of that, to reinstate dharma, he takes another janma or avatara. So, actually, Lord need not create dharma, you should understand. Because dharma is the very nature of the universe. What is the nature of the universe? Dharma is the universe. It is his very nature. Lord is not creating anything new. He is only reinstating the nature of the universe, because it has gone through problems because of the presence of some rakshasas, because of adharma so much. So just like the health is not created by the doctor. Does doctor create health in us? No. He's not creating health in us. It is a natural state of a person is like that. But what is created? Ill health is created. The natural state of a person is healthy. But ill health is created when we violate the natural law. When we violate natural harmony, ill health is created. So Lord only removes ill health. He only removes adharma, and he does not create health, because dharma is the very nature of the entire system. So one adharmic person, once adharmic people are removed, then dharmic people will be protected. The world will come back to its normal harmony. So that is the reason why the Lord does that. And finally, the threat to dharma in the form of adharma comes only from which source? If you take the cosmic system, the world, the threat to dharma by bringing adharma comes from which source? Only one source, the human source. Because all the animals, they all function according to dharma. All the plants function according to dharma. Every other thing in the system, they all follow according to dharma. Vishatma, Vishasma, Vataha, Pavate. Even the wind blows according to dharma. Bishodeti Suryaha, the sun rises because of dharma. Vishasmad, Agnischa, Indrascha, even Agni, Indra, all those celestials are functioning according to dharma. Mrityuhu Dhavati, the god of death runs from one place. One day here there is earthquake, here there is some other thing there. He runs from place to place. For what? To maintain order. So nature, there is order everywhere. But who is the person who really causes problem to the order? It's the human being. Right? That's what he does. So there is only one being. Actually, there is some particular being, I guess. It's called lemming or some name. I don't remember the name. But whenever their population increases, they voluntarily go and, you know, they die. They commit suicide in large numbers when their population grows so much. Which human will grow? So even on animals, they have got this dharmic sense innate in them. And they are all following according to dharma. So animals, instinctively, they have got this natural balance within themselves. They all have. So the Lord comes to take care of the human beings and teach them dharma. Whenever dharma weakens. So we violate again he takes another avatara. We violate again he takes another avatara. So Avatars are innumerable, but because violations are innumerable. We are violated each time. So dharma samsthapanartha sambhavami. When I am born, yuge yuge, that's what the Lord says. Sambhavami yuge yuge means in literally every yuga I am born. That's what it means. I take an avatar. But we cannot take this meaning as literally every yuga he is born. Whenever there is a need, he is born. In some yugas, he might have to be born 10 times. In some other yuga, he may not be born at all. But he will be born whenever there is a need. All the time, he will be born. So my arrival depends on the condition of the world. Not that every yuga there will be one avatara. Depends on the condition of the world. I will take as many avataras as that is needed. So thus in these two slokas, 7th and 8th slokas, we talked about what? The purpose of avatara, and also with this the avatara topic, the Lord concludes. The purpose of avatara is also seen, and Arjuna's question is also answered. What was Arjuna's question? Why the Lord took so much time to answer that? What was the question?
How can you say that
you were the person who gave the knowledge to
Surya Bhagavan? Right. You claimed that you taught to Surya Bhagavan and you are also teaching me today. How can you say that? That was the question Arjuna asked him, right? You are the teacher of Surya Bhagavan also and you are now teaching me. How is it possible? And for that answer is, I as Vishnu was the teacher of Surya. And now I as Lord Krishna, I am your teacher. But I am the same person, only my dress is different. I was then Mahavishnu, now I am Krishna, only the dress changed. That's what the Lord says, only the same person. And also the knowledge is what? It's not his own. Knowledge is from the Vedas, from the scriptures, time immemorial, it has been there. So from the 9th shloka onwards, now Krishna is going to pick up the thread which we left earlier from the 3rd chapter and he will come back to the original topic. So this avatara topic is a small diversion. It is not in the mainstream of things. It is a small diversion. So Krishna just attempted to explain to Arjuna the purpose of his avatara and what avatara is and all. Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam. Janma karma cha me divyam.
Ye vayo veti tattvatah.
Ye vayo veti tattvatah. Ye vayo veti tattvatah.
Janma karma cha me divyam. Ye vayo veti tattvatah.
Janma karma cha me divyam. Ye vayo veti tattvatah. Janma karma cha me divyam. Ye vayo veti tattvatah.
Tyaktva deham punarjanma.
Tyaktva deham punarjanma. Tyaktva deham punarjanma.
Naiti mameti sorjuna.
Naiti mameti sorjuna. Naiti mameti sorjuna.
Tyaktva deham punarjanma. Naiti mameti sorjuna.
Tyaktva deham punarjanma. Naiti mameti sorjuna. Tyaktva deham punarjanma. Naiti mameti sorjuna.
So the essence of this shloka is what? The one who knows my true nature is also liberated. The one who knows the true nature of God is also liberated. So, in the 2nd chapter and even in the 3rd chapter, Krishna said that the one who knows his own nature, that I am the Atma. Anybody who knows his own nature, that I am the Atma, I am not the body, I am the Atma. That I am different from Anatma, the body, and I am birthless, I am deathless. Any person who knows that, one who knows the Atma Swarupam is liberated. That's what he told earlier. We have already seen. So now he says, the one who knows God is liberated. So earlier he said, the one who knows his Atma Swarupam is liberated. Now he says, the one who knows God is liberated. That's what he said. Indriyani paranyagum, indriyepyaham, paramanaham, manasastu parabuddhihi, yobuddehe, paratastu saha. So we have seen that shloka earlier. So the Atma is one which is beyond all these 5 sheets of matter. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, I explained all that. Manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, all those things. So the one who knows that the Atma, the nature of this, he will be liberated. Now Krishna puts the same thing in a different language. He says, the one who knows the Lord is also liberated. So earlier, the one who knows his nature, Atma Swarupam, is liberated. Here he says the one who knows the Lord is liberated. So previously it is self-realization. Now it is God-realization. The same thing, but he puts it in a different manner. Self-realization, nature of myself. Here it is God-realization. Okay. And he says, Yaha me janma karma cha veti. Yaha me janma karma cha veti. The one who knows my janma. My means Ishvara. One means Ishvara. Who knows my janma. And what is Ishvara janma called? We call it avatar. Ishvara janma is called avatar. So the one who knows the secret of my avatar. And not only that, mama karma cha. Not only the secret of my avatar, he should also know my karma. The one who knows the secret of my avatar and also my karma. And what is the karma of the Lord? That has been said before earlier. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya dushkarma. So that is my action. That is my karma. Okay? So sadhu paritranam and dushkrit nigraham. So that's what the Lord's job is. So the one who knows my avatar as well as my karma, my activities. And what type of avatar and karma it is? Divyam. They are all divine karma and divine avatar. These are not just some karma. Divine karma, which is not like ordinary people's karma. Ordinary people's birth and karma. So ordinary people's janma, we cannot call it divyam. We don't call it divine. Because it is God by what? It's caused by what? Ordinary people's janma is caused by what?
Prarabdha.
Prarabdha is essentially ajnana. Ignorance. Jnanam and karma. So ordinary people's janma is in the form of samsara. That is ordinary people's janma. We cannot call it divine. Yeah, there is samsara. Yeah, samsara sagaram dukkam. So it cannot be divine at all. But Ishvara's janma is called divyam. That is called divyam because it is meant for what? For the blessing of the world. Lokam sangraha. That's what we already seen that earlier. So Ishvara's janma is called divine divyam. Therefore, the one who knows my divine birth, which is in the form of ever liberated birth. Ishvara is born liberated, right? All janmas, we are all born bound. But Ishvara is born liberated. Right? So, ever liberated. And the one who knows my divine karma also, which is meant for the upliftment of the world. My karma is only meant for upliftment of the world. It has no other agenda. One, the person who knows that, evam. As described in the previous shloka that we just saw, as described in the previous shlokas, and where it was described earlier, Ajobi, Sannavyayatma, Bhutanamishwaropi Sannam, Prakritim Swam Adhishtayam, Sambhavami, Atmaya. We just saw that shloka. So when I am born with this body, I am not the slave of this body. I am the master of this body, and that is called the divinity of the Lord. When we are born slaves to our Indriyas. Whereas when the Lord is born, he is born master to his indriyas. So, and divyam karma is also described in the 7th and 8th shloka, the Paritranaya Sadhunam and those two shlokas also. So, Krishna says, evam, as described in the 6th, 7th and 8th shlokas, yaha veti, if a person understands the Lord, understands me, as described in these three shlokas, yaha veti, who understands, who knows, and how does he know? He puts a very important class here, tatvataha. The person should know not just by words, tatvataha, in reality, factually, the one who knows that. And what is the tattvam behind Ishvara? We have to understand that now. So it's a statement. The one who knows the tattva of Ishvara, that's what the Lord says. But tattva of Ishvara is what we have to understand. Tattvam is what? Really, the Lord is not born. He has to understand that. When he understands the tattvam of the Lord, Lord is not born. That is the secret. He should understand that. The Lord does not have a janma. He has to understand. And why is the secret of, what is the secret of Lord's karma also? Because this janma. There is no, he is not born. What is the secret of Lord's karma? The Lord does not have karma. That is the secret of Lord's karma. So Lord, the secret of Lord's janma is, he doesn't have a janma. Secret of Lord's karma is what? He is akartha. He is not doing any karma. Tattvataha Ishvaraha Ajaha. Tattvataha Ishvaraha Akartha. These two a person who should understand. So Ishvara is not born. Ajaha. He has no janma. And Ishvara is akartha. He is not the doer of any action. So Ishvara is birthless. Ishvara is actionless. So a person who, this is the tattvam of Ishvara. So a person who understands this tattvam, for that person only he is talking. And what about Janma, Janmashtami and all this Ramanavami, all that we are celebrating? He has done so many karmas also. He has killed so many asuras. He has blessed so many devotees. So what about all of them? Atma Mayaya Janma Praptaha Iva. By the Atma Mayaya, by that Maya, it appears as if a Janma is taken. Right? And Atma Mayaya Karma Kurute Iva. Again, the same Maya, it appears as if the Lord is engaged in all those actions, even though he is actionless and he is birthless. Okay. So, this is all due to Maya. So, through Maya, there is a seeming Janma. It is not real Janma, seeming Janma, and there is a seeming Karma, all because of Maya. Apparent Janma and apparent Karma. It is like our dream. We are born in our dream in various forms. You have taken so many forms, you wear so many dress, you do so many actions, all that you do. We do varieties of karma also. So even though we are born and doing, engaging in varieties of things in the dream, really, we are the wakers. We are lying in the bed comfortably, not even a limb moved. But within that, a couple of minutes, 1 minute or 20, how long a dream lasts? Very small time. Within that small time, you have taken birth, you got married, you got children, you got the children married, you got grandchildren. Everything within that half a minute or 1 minute. Very, very small time. Right? So the time domain in the dream world is very, very different from the time domain in real world for us. Right? So that's how we can relate to the time domains of other beings, like the devas, and the, you know, God, various Satya Loga, we tell all the times of Brahma, all those things. So that's how we understand. In the dream world itself, the time domains are very different. So these are all because of Maya, right? So Maya means magic. You can call it Maya is magic. And the Lord's magical power is called Atma Maya. Lord's magical power is called, because of that it appears so. So that is called the Tattva of the Avatar. Avatar, Tattva of Avatar is what? What is the Tattva of behind Avataram? It is Ajaha. It is never born and it is Akarta. It never does any action. So the one who knows this Tattva, this reality, this truth, what will happen to that person? He will also become Janma Karma Rahitaha. That person also will be devoid of Janma, birth and also Karma. So the person who knows this will also become that. If he knows the Lord is Janma Karma Rahitaha, free from Janma and Karma, then that knower also becomes free from Janma and Karma. That is what is said in the next line. Tyaktva Deham. He also gives up the body. Tyaktva. He gives up the body. So that is Marana Anantaram Ityartha. At the time of death, he gives up the body. After his Maranam, Punar Janma Nayeti. After that person dies, after he leaves the body, he does not take another body. There is no punarjanma for that. This body, now he cannot do anything right now because this birth is taken. He has to exhaust the prarabdha, he has to shed this body, he has to die, no choice. But once this body goes away, he does not take another body, punarjanma, na yeti, he does not have punarjanma at all, rebirth. And if he does not have punarjanma, where does he go? He doesn't get. Where does he go? Mam yeti saha. Arjuna, mam yeti. He attains me. He doesn't take punarjanma. He doesn't go anywhere. He reaches me. He comes to me. He becomes liberated. So that person becomes liberated. So by knowing the Lord Ajaha, knowing the Lord Akarta, the knower also becomes Ajaha and Akarta. That's what the Lord says. Now we may have a question. What question we will have, if at all we have a question? What is the logic behind this argument? Right? What he says, if you know the Lord as Ajaha and Akarta, you also become Ajaha and Akarta. That is the argument. That's what the Lord says. Right? By knowing him to be Ajaha and Akarta, I also become Ajaha Akarta. So by the knowing Lord is birthless, I become birthless. By knowing Lord is have no action, I also have no action. By knowing you are rich, can I become rich? It will suit very well. By knowing you are a PhD, if I become a PhD, it's very nice, right? No problem. Very easy, right? You don't have to go to school at all. So, how does this happen? By knowing the Lord as Ajaha, how I become Ajaha? Right? That question is. Right? If I look upon the Lord from the Sharira angle, from the body angle of the Lord, then from the standpoint of view, the body of the Lord, then the Lord certainly has a Janma. Right? Yeah, Lord has a body. Krishna Janmashtami was there, Krishna was born. He also grew, all those things happened. So he also had a body because it is born out of Devaki. That Sharira, Krishna Shariram is born out of Devaki. So Krishna Shariram performed all those exploits, all those pranks, childhood pranks, everything Krishna did. And Krishna Shariram is not available today. It's gone. So it was born. It also did all the pranks and all the exploits, and it is no more today. Similarly, Rama Shariram also was born one day. And there is no Rama Shariram today. It also did a lot of exploits. So, if you look at the Lord from the body standpoint, from the Sharira standpoint, Lord will have Janma and Lord will have Karma also. If you look at from the Sharira Drishtiya, so by looking at from the angle of body, so Sharira Drishtiya, Ishwarasyapi, Janma Bhavete, Karma Cha Bhavete. Ishwar also will have Janma and Karma. But if I should understand the true nature of the Lord, that he is birthless and all-pervading and actionless, then I should never look upon the Lord from the angle of the body. I can never look at him from the angle of the Shariram. I should understand that the Lord is not his body. Lord is not his body, but the Chaitanyam behind the body. If you look at Krishna Shariram is limited. It is also has... Well, it also has maybe 6 feet long, whatever it is. It also weighs so many pounds. It is limited. But we don't look at the Lord from the angle of the body of the Lord. We look at the Lord by the Chaitanyam, behind the body. So Rama is not Rama Shariram, but the Chaitanyam behind Rama Shariram. Similarly, any God is not the body. He put all these images and all for the sake of our own convenience. Otherwise, we cannot visualize a Lord who is without any form and all that, is very difficult to visualize. So I need some form to focus. So you put all these forms and do all these things. So if the God is seen as the body, he will be Jataha. He will be also born. But he will also have Karma. He will have Kartrutva. We have already used all this term. Kartrutva is what? Doership. He will also have Karma and he will also have Kartrutva, doership. And Lord finally will have limitation also. If you have these things, Lord will have limitation. It is very nice to imagine Lord with all these Pitambaram and Shankar Chakram and with all those garments and so nice, pleasant. But by looking at him, what we do? We are really limiting him to that form. Lord is infinite. You cannot limit him to any form. Right? So, then what I should do? I have to dismiss the Shariram and go to the Shariri. We have used these terms earlier. Deha and Dehi. Shariri we have to go. I have to go to the Chaitanyam. I have to dismiss the Deha of the Lord and look at the Dehi, the Chaitanyam. That's what I should do. Then what happens? Once I know Krishna is the Shariri and not the black flute cute playing Krishna. Right? So it's not that Krishna. Now I think of the Krishna as the Chaitanyam, as the Shariri. If that is the Lord, if all those things are there, then Lord will have limitation. If I know this Lord like this, as Shariri the Chaitanyam, then I can say, what I can say? The Lord is Ajaha. Then only I can say. If I say Lord is Ajaha, then I am not talking about that Krishna who was doing all this Rasa Krida and all those pranks. We are not talking about that Krishna. We are talking about the Shariri Krishna, the Dehi Krishna, the Chaitanyam Krishna, which is Ajaha, which is Akarta, which is Abhokta, which is Nityaha, which is Shuddha, which is Sarvagataha. We know all these terms, right? Sarvagataha means all pervading. So that is that Lord, we understand that Lord to be that way. If you discount the Shariram, you dismiss the Shariram, look at the Chaitanyam, then I can understand all that. Then what will happen? Once I know that the Lord is not the body, but he is the Chaitanyam behind the body, then I will begin to question about myself. What about me? If the Lord is not the body, if the Lord is the Chaitanyam behind the body, then what about me? Am I the Chaitanyam or am I this body? That question we will ask about ourselves. once we understand the Lord is there. Right? We'll ask that question. So if the Lord is not his body, I am also not my body. The Lord is not his body, I am also not my body. So the Lord's body is dismissed as not his true nature, as not his true nature, I will also dismiss my body also as not my true nature. So I will also discount my body. So, but I understand, I will dismiss my body also as not my true nature. Then I will understand myself as Chaitanya. Because his not body is not my true nature, so I will understand myself as Chaitanya behind this body. I will think of it that way. So if you think of one wave, the moment wave understands it is not a wave, it is water, then all waves are same. Not the other way. Wave number 2 is not different from water. Wave number 3 is not different from water. Every wave is water. So there is only water everywhere. There is no wave at all. So when you look at wave as water, then you look at all bodies as Chaitanya. When you look at wave as wave, then you look at differentiate bodies, and you look at this body, black body, tall body, short body. You look at all of them. Small wave, big wave. So wave is only water. Once I understand that substantially wave is only water, not different from water, I understand all bodies are only, they are all fake. Only Chaitanya is behind all of them. So one Namarupa. Namarupa is name and form. One Namarupa we discuss. We dismiss. Automatically all Namarupas are dismissed. So if you hold on to the one Namarupa, any one of them, if you want to hold on to that Namarupa, that is name, form and function, Namarupa and Karma, if you want to add all of that. So you will hold on to Namarupa only, you will never see through the substance and see Chaitanya. So once I understand the Lord as Chaitanya, not the body, I also understand I am not the body, I am the Chaitanya, and not only for me, every body is only Chaitanya and not any body. From the relative angle, you see all these bodies, variations are there, black body, white body, strong body, weak body, all those they are all only external. They are not, the Nama, Rupa and Karma are not inherent. Chaitanya is only inherent. So if you see that angle, so what happened now? Ishvara is Chaitanya, I am also Chaitanya. That's what I have concluded now. So Ishvara has got an apparent body around him, and so also I have an apparent body around me. That's all I think. And once my drishti, that my outlook is changed to Chaitanya from the body, between Chaitanya and Chaitanya, there is no difference. There is only one Chaitanya. There is no difference between this Chaitanya and Chaitanya. There is no difference at all. So I understand that I and the Lord are one and the same. Both are Chaitanya. So once you look at the Lord as Chaitanya and not the Shariram, once you also understand you are Chaitanya and not this body, this Chaitanya and that Chaitanya are not different. They are one and the same. Me and the Lord are one and the same from the angle of Chaitanya. On the other hand, if I look upon the Lord as Shariram, Vishnu as Shankar Chakra Gadadhari, very nice. So if you think of him, and lying on a beautiful bed of Adishesha in Shirabdi, right, in the ocean of milk, no problem, very nice to imagine. And if you see all that thing, then Vishnu also will have limitation. He also has to come down. He has to be also active. He has to be Janma Sahitaha. He will not be Janma Rahitaha. He will be Janma Sahitaha, Karma Sahitaha. He will not be karma rahita if you limit the Lord to the body. So from that standpoint, I will be different from Vishnu at that time. Because Vishnu has his body, I have my body. Different. So because Vishnu's shariram is different, my shariram is different. But once I know Vishnu is not born, is not the shariram, but the shariri, the Chaitanyam, then I will know that I am not also the body, I am the shariri, the Chaitanyam. And I, the Shariri, and Vishnu, the Shariri, both are one and the same. Both are Chaitanyam Eva. You have to understand that. So if I know my true nature, I will know Ishvara's true nature. So if I know Ishvara's true nature, I will know my true nature. Now you understand? That is how we started. Question was, how we can understand if I know Ishvara's Shariram is this, if Ishvara's nature is this, how I can say my nature is also that? That's what the answer by saying this. So if I know, so self-realization and God-realization are one and the same. That's what we should understand now. That's why Krishna says here, the one who knows my true nature, he will get liberated. Self-realization, God-realization will liberate him because he will know his true nature also. And what is his true nature? Akarta Ajanma. That is the true nature. Akarta. He is no doership. Kartrutvam is not there. Akarta is not doer. And Ajanma is Ajaha, not born. Exactly like Ishvara. So, what can I also say again? Najayate, Mriyate, Vakatachate, Nayam, Bhutva, Bhutva. The entire same thing which we said in the second chapter. All those things which we said about the Lord. Same thing applies to us also. Yes.
Among the five koshas, like Anumaya, Pranamaya, Munamaya, and Dhanamaya, Dhanamaya, which of this would be the one where the soul would realize that it's not really the body, but it is the ultimate body?
Actually, to be honest, this is a very it's a good question. Because we actually, it will take a lot of discussion to do that, but I will try to simply this thing. See, manas and buddhi are considered sukshma sharira. So the annamaya kosha is the gross body. Then pranamaya, mano pranamaya kosha is the pranas. Manomaya and vijnanamaya, they come under this mind and intellect. This thing. So only using your mind and intellect, you understand certain things to discount your own body. That my body is different from myself. Is done by what? By my own understanding. Which faculties are what? Mind and buddhi. Right? They are in the sukshma sharira. They are there in the partha body. So you use that as a tool. But once you use that, once you come to the understanding, you negate that. You negate my buddhi is not that. My manas is not that. What is the mind? That is a result. So you go up to the negation part here. You have now negated that also. What is remaining now? Nothing to negate anymore. And what is remaining is that Chaitanya. And that's what we understand. So when we say self-realization, that's what. Yeah.
Once you said Anandamaya is also, you have to go beyond that also.
That's Turiyavastana. When people say that. Anandamaya means, here it's a state of bliss, means in the what? It is, it's totally I am, it's a state. That's it. You cannot describe it. So it's a state. For that there is nothing, it's totally nirguna. Right? At that state you cannot explain what it is. You cannot say that. I cannot explain to you what it is. You have to find it yourself. If somebody tries to explain, that means he has not said it. In Tamil, there is a beautiful statement. Kandavar Vindilar, Vindavar Kandilar. The one who has said about it, he has not seen. The one who has seen, has not told about it.
There is a thing called Taoism.
Tao, right.
They say the Tao that can't be explained is not the real Tao.
So if you try to explain it, you cannot explain. So that's, you know, that's what, you know, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. So that is supposed to be beyond all things. So if you reach that stage, at that time you cannot explain. You cannot then quantify how you found it. It's not possible. Okay. So all these definitions the Lord said, na jayate mriyate vakadachite na yambutva pavita vanabhoyaha, all those things, ajo nityaha, shashvatoyam puranam, na hanyate hanyamane sharire, all those things we saw, all those definitions would apply to this person also who knows the Lord, who has got self-realization, who has got God-realization. He also can say, not only the Lord is birthless, I am also birthless. He can say proudly, I am also birthless. It is the body that comes and goes, but I am never born. I am ever the Paramatman alone. This person also, this jnani also will say. The only difference is what? As was told in the last class, God knows this, I don't know that. That's the problem. I have to strive to know that. Whereas for Lord, He is known with that knowledge. He is born with that knowledge when He takes an avatar. For God, it is known like that. For me, I have to strive to know it. The moment I know, whatever God claims, I also can claim for myself. No problem at all. So, we can become gods. Every human being has got the potential to be a god. Only we don't know that. That's the problem. That is the benefit of Ishvara Jnanam. So when we understand the Lord, this is the benefit that we are going to get. Tyaktvam deham punarjanma na eti. So having, he does not take any rebirth at all after getting marana. Once he dies, he doesn't take any more birth. For that person is ever, he is liberated. On the other hand, you know, this person, he attains me. That's what Lord says. He attains me. But we have to understand it a little more differently also. When the Lord says He attains me, that's not the Lord standing somewhere, you go attain Him. It is your own knowledge that you are ever liberated. But the Lord says, Mameva Yeshesi, that's what He will say. He will attain me alone. then that me means what? Me is Shuddha Chaitanyam. There is no difference in Chaitanyam. That is the knowledge we should have. That is understanding we should have. It is not that you took some, bought a plane ticket and reached the Lord where he is sitting in Vaikuntham or Kailasam. You didn't go anywhere. You are wherever you are there only. But this knowledge alone enables to get liberation. Okay. And what type of me? Not the Shariram, but the Shariri, the Shuddha Chaitanyam. The one who knows me as the Shuddha Chaitanyam, that person is ever liberated. That's what Lord says. Vita raga baya krodha.
Vita raga baya krodha. Vita raga baya krodha.
Manmaya mamu pashrita.
Manmaya mamu pashrita. Manmaya mamu pashrita.
Vita raga baya krodha. Manmaya mamu pashrita.
Vita raga baya krodha. Manmaya mamu pashrita. Introducing a new concept here. It has been anadikala pravritta. It has been there from a long time. People have attained this. So that is what he says here, the second line. Bhagavaha madbhavam agataha. Bhagavaha, many people have attained my nature, madbhavam. Many people have attained my nature. My nature means what? Birthlessness, actionlessness. They have attained that nature. This is my nature. Bhavam is swarupam. Mat swarupam agataha. And how did they attain my nature? By doing various sadhanas. They did so many sadhanas, and Krishna gives actually a list of sadhanas here in this shloka that they have practiced. These people all have practiced all the sadhanas so that we can also practice those. If you also want to become God, if you also want to become one with God, then we can also do that by practicing all this. And what are the sadhanas? Bhita raga bhaya krodaha. The first sadhana is what? Purification. Before doing anything, the first sadhana is purification. If you want to cook, vessel has to be cleaned. Simple thing, you have to purify the vessel. If you want to install a deity, you have to again do purification. Punyaham, all those things are being done. If you want to paint the wall also, you have to clean. First clean the wall. Purification has to be done. So nothing can be done without purification. If you do without purification, you know what you will get. It will be like that only. Okay. So in the case of Atma Jnanam also, it is impossible without rubbing our mind with a real strong coarse sandpaper. Mind is so much dirty there. So what is the sandpaper? We already have seen this in the previous chapters. Karma Yoga, that is the sandpaper that is to be used to wipe out this thing to make it pure. So Karma Yogena Chitta Shuddhi. So you want to clean your chitta, you have to use Karma Yoga. Without it is impossible. That we do not want, because rubbing with sandpaper is very painful. So we don't want to do that at all. But Krishna says, no other way. If it is painful also, because it depends on the extent of dirt. If it is a small dirt, you can wipe it. Or you can blow it off. Maybe you can use some detergent. Here, this is dirt is so much, you have to chisel it hard. You need a hedge hammer to chisel it. Because over several janmas, this is accumulated. So to clean it is very, very tough. So he says, there is no other way. So Vita, Raga, Baya, Krodaha. Vita means free from. Vita means free from, having free from these fundamental impurities. What are the fundamental impurities? Raga. Raga is attachment. Wherever Raga is there, I am just only saying this because we already discussed all this. Wherever Raga is there, what is also there? Dvesha is there automatically. Raga, Dvesha. Raga and Dvesha, they go together. Because they are like twin brothers.
Raga and Dvesha are always twin brothers. They always go together. Dvesha is always there. He has already pointed out. Indriyasyam, Indriyarte, Raga Dvesha Vyavastitav, Tayorna, Vashamagachet, Taukyasyam, Paripantina. He has told Raga Dveshas are the most dangerous rakshasas that everybody has. You have to first knock them off. And how to knock them off? How to knock off Raga Dveshas? This is not actually given here, but we have to understand by practicing Titiksha. Titiksha, we have already used that term earlier. Traigunya Vishaya Vedaha, Nistraigunya Bhavarjana, Nirdvando, Nitya Satvastaha, Nir Yoga Kshema, Atmaman. Proper understanding that life will have pairs of opposites. You cannot escape that. There is Sukham, there is Dukham. There is cold, there is hot. Shita, Ushna, all that, they are all there. Pairs of, I should not get attached to only one and hate the other. It is comfortable, that's fine. But I cannot hate the other. I should learn to welcome both of them. That is natural. That is a fact. You can never change a fact. You cannot try to change a fact. It is a fact. So Sukham is also welcome. Dukkham is also equally welcome. That's what we should understand. Because if you do not, you may say I don't welcome. But it will get crashed on you otherwise. If you don't want to welcome it, no problem. It will get crashed on you. At that time, you will be caught unawares. You cannot deal with it. So you have to be prepared internally all the time. Okay, there is Sukham today. Fine, enjoy it. No problem. But Dukkham tomorrow comes. Don't despair. It will come. You have to deal with it. This understanding, which requires the toughening of the personality. One has to take a tough stand. Matras Parshastu Kaunteyam, Shitoshna Sukadukadam, Agama Payana, Anitpayana, Anityaham, Panti Tikshaswa, Bharata. Titiksha was introduced there, Panti Tikshaswa, Bharata. So they will all come and go. They will all come and go, and you should just brush them aside. Deal with them. Just like a mosquito biting. What you can do? Mosquito bites. So you cannot do anything. You cannot invite a mosquito. You cannot deal with not to bite. It will bite. So proper understanding, and by developing titiksha, one has to overcome the problem of raga dvesha. That's what he is told later. Then vita raga, then bhayam. Bhayam is fear. That is the next enemy. Fear also has to be overcome by what? By strengthening the mind only. We have to strengthen our mind. Build up the self image. You know, what you think you become. If you are a fearful person, you will be fearful all the time. You are strong. If you are a strong person, you will be strong. So you have to think. You have to strengthen your mind all the time. If you keep on telling, how will I do it? How will I face the situation? Always you are worried. You will become weaker only. There is no point in thinking that way. But if you keep on telling, I will face it. I will take care of it. I know how to deal with it. If you keep on telling that, you will become stronger. So it is only reassuring ourselves. So we have to build up that internal strength. That is the only way to get to the fear. Maybe in some company and all for some time, but you cannot be in the company all the time. You have to be alone. You have to face it yourself sometimes. So initially we can have Lord for the support. No problem at all. Okay. Then Krishna will talk about it later also. He is going to say in some other context. If you have no self-confidence, then you think of the Lord. I will provide it to you. He will say, give all those assurances later. Even if the whole world deserts you, doesn't matter. If your money goes away, doesn't matter. Health is gone, doesn't matter. Think the Lord is with you. He is going to tell all those nice things. That's fine. But I have to know how to strengthen myself. So get rid of the fear complex. Get rid of bhayam completely. There's no point in having fear. Then krodha. Krodha is also, we have told earlier, krodha is another very, very big obstacle for every person. Krodha. People may give up everything, but they cannot give up krodha. It's very, very difficult. They can give up a lot of things, but not krodha. If the teacher keeps on telling, give up krodha, they will get krodha with the teacher also. This guy has nothing else to do. So it is such a terrible thing. That's the nature of krodha. Nature of krodha is like that. Without getting rid of it, moksha is not possible at all. You have to get rid of krodha to get moksha. Because moksha means what? Peace of mind, shanti. With krodha, you can never have peace of mind. Only you will have pieces of mind. That is why what Krishna says, having gotten rid of raga, bhaya, krodha, these are the main ones. So the usage is what? Vita, raga, bhaya, krodha. With many places, Krishna will bring it in so many places, in other places also. Then manmaya, all the time thinking of me. So you get rid of these things, you should be free from all these impediments, and you should think of me all the time as the goal of life. That's the only goal of life. Think of me as the ultimate goal of life, Manmaya. Actually, Krishna is going to talk about earlier, later in a lot of detail, in 7th chapter and later chapters also, because bhakti topics will come and he is going to talk of that in great detail. But predominantly, we find predominantly karma and jnana, all those things they are being discussed in these chapters. Bhakti will come later, so at that time he will talk about this in detail. So manmaya, we use the word maya. Maya means what? It is saturated. Maya. Now maya is saturated, right? So this is saturated. We also in rasam also, we always, when we cook also, they say maya, we put the maya, saturated puli. So you put that thing. So this is maya. So manmaya means saturated with me, means what? Saturated with divine thoughts. Saturated with thoughts about me alone, nothing else. Only think about all the time. And that is possible only when the God alone is the primary goal, the only goal. Otherwise, your thoughts will never be saturated with that thought. If you got another thought also, if you got another goal, then thoughts are going to be divided between that goal and Lord. So only goal is Lord, then only your thoughts will be saturated with that thought of the Lord. Because our mind always will be saturated with what we value more, right? What we value more, mind is saturated with that. You know, if Arjuna is, well, somebody is more saturated, he is always saturated with money thoughts. Always he wants to make more money. Stock market is like this, stock market is like that, I will make more money here. 24 hours money only, saturated with money only. So that's what he is thinking all the time. So here, manmaya, saturated with Lord's thought. Then mam upashritaha, having taken shelter in me, depend on me for your guidance. Those people who depend on me for their guidance, it is necessary, because often, many times, we are diffident. Most people, it's the nature of most people, to be diffident. Whenever a big task comes, diffidence immediately comes. Oh, how am I going to deal with it? How am I going to do this? That diffidence comes to everybody. Even for small tasks, we get diffident. So how to talk about, you know, big tasks like kama, krodha, lobha, moha, to get rid of them? Very tough job. How can I do that? I am alpajnaha, alpashaktiman. How can I ever do this? I cannot do this at all. Always I have that thought. So, suddenly our mind will think, is it possible for me to do it at all or not? Maybe for some great people like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Ramana Maharishi, these people might have done it. I don't think I can do that. This is not for it. So, let me go through the real run of the mill life. I don't want to go through this entire Jnana Yoga and all that, think Gita Rakshas and all, they are nice to hear, but I cannot deal with them at all. Most of the time we think, because we become diffident. Very easily we become diffident. So if we have decided that we are not fit, then even Bhagavan, if he comes, he cannot help us. Unless we think we are fit. If suddenly Lord Krishna comes here and says, now I have got free tickets for half a dozen people to come to moksha right now. The plane is free. How many will get up into the plane? Nobody will. They will all say, give me one more day. My granddaughter is expecting a baby tomorrow. My granddaughter is expecting a baby tomorrow. So let me see that and come. That's what we will say. If Lord comes, even if he asks and offers us moksha, we will not take. Yeah, that's how our mindset is. Okay. So first thing is what? To get rid of the fundamental idea that all the higher Vedanta are all for some select people. Vedanta is for everybody. It's not for just only those select people. Anybody can learn it. So take shelter in the Lord, and with the help of the Lord, I shall be able to fulfill all these requirements. And this also will be talked about elaborately later. Sharanagati, Bhakti, all those things Krishna will talk later. We will see them at that time in detail. But all these are only preparatory things, initial stages. And what is the final stage? Jnana tapasa. So by getting free from raga, baya, krodha, all those things, and putting your thoughts all the time in me, then final stage is what? Jnana tapasa, all these sadhanas, whether it is bhakti, whether it is karma, or following values, whatever it is, all these sadhanas should culminate in what? Jnana. Should culminate in knowledge. Here jnanam actually means what is under question. Jnanam here means Vedanta vicharaha, inquiry. about Vedanta. Otherwise called Jnana Yoga. We already are familiar with Karma Yoga. This is Jnana Yoga. Sankhya Yoga we already saw in also in the second chapter. So this is Jnana Yoga. Because we should remember that the word Jnanam, it is used actually in two meanings. Here, one is the very pursuit of knowledge itself is Jnana. It's called Jnana Marga. The pursuit of Jnanam is also called here Jnanam. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, they are all pursuit of knowledge. To hear, Aham Brahmasmi, you hear that. Then you try to do Mananam. Try to think of that all the time and see whether it makes sense to you. You negate all the things. All the doubts are created. Then Nididhyasanam, you have to think of it so every time you try to live that. So these are all various sadhanas. These are all various exercises that a person has to go through this entire pursuit. That itself is called Jnana. That Jnana Marga. The very study of the scriptures, and reflecting on that idea, Aham Brahmasmi, how can I be Brahman? All those questions will come. If somebody says, I am Brahmasmi, that's nice to hear. Then the next moment I will negate it. No. That's not, I am not Brahman at all. How can I be Brahman? Okay. So all these inquiries, I ask those questions and I try to answer them and understand every part of Vedanta. This part is called, the Mananam part and the Nididhyasanam. This pursuit, this itself is called Jnana or Jnana Yoga. This is one meaning. And by this practice, when Aham Brahma Asmi becomes crystal clear to me, that knowledge is called also Jnana. So the pursuit is also called Jnana, and the ultimate knowledge of that Jnana is also called Jnana. Both are called Jnana here. So the sadhanam is called Jnana, and the sadhyam also is called Jnana. Both are called Jnana. And here, which one Krishna means here? He means here only sadhana. He is not meaning sadhya, he is not meaning. He is meaning only the sadhana. So, by jnana tapasa, what he means is, he calls the very jnana itself as a tapas. The very pursuit itself as a great tapas he calls. Normally, tapas means what we understand? All signs of disciplines. We call it tapas. Like sitting and meditating, fasting, ekadashi fast, it's a tapas. Standing on one leg with two hands folded. All those things, they are all tapas. We call, because by doing that, you are restricting your freedom. You are causing some infliction to yourself. So that is a tapas. That requires a firm mind, a steadfast mind. So to do that, and so strength, internal strength. So that is called tapas. So the impurity of, so they will all move what? All, by doing this, what? Why do we do all this? Why do we do all this tapas, all these various disciplines? Why do we do? Because we are trying to remove all the superficial impurities. Whereas the real impurity of ignorance, it cannot be removed by fasting. You are trying to curtail, to do fasting because you want to control your indriyas. Right? You are tempted to eat some food, but now today is fast. No, I will not take food. So I will control your indriyas. So you will not do this and that thing. Today what do you want to eat? You are thinking about what business is there. So that way we are trying to control certain things, our faculties, that is tapas. But by that we are not completely removing our ignorance. Ignorance is there all the time. We are not removing the ignorance at all. Only jnana tapas will remove that. Jnana tapas alone will. So the impurity of ajnana, ajnana is ignorance, can be removed only by one tapas, and that tapas is called jnana. So Vedantic study, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana alone will remove that impurity. So the highest tapas is what? Satapo tapyata satapas tattva. See, tapasa brahma vijignasasva tapas. See, the Upanishad says, tapas is alone. Again and again you go on engaging yourself in the enquiry. Till you come to the answer yourself, nobody can teach you that answer. Okay? So that is why you have to go on doing that, and that is jnana tapas. So through the Vedantic inquiry, otherwise known as Jnana Yoga. Putaha. Putaha means these people, they get purified by this Jnana Yoga. They get purified. So the purification is done now in three stages. First impurity is Raga Dvesha, removed by what? Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga removes all that. And the second impurity is what? Is the unsteadiness of the mind, the wavering mind, which we call it Vikshepa. First is called Raga Dvesha is removed by Karma Yoga. Then vikshepa of the mind is removed by what? By upasana. Upasana, saguna dhyana. You can focus on anything, do upasana, japa, all those things will go away. And the third impurity is avidya or ignorance. That is removed by what? Jnana tapasa, Vedantic inquiry. So So these are the three ways by which you remove the impurities. One is by karma yoga, raga dvesha is removed, then vikshepa is removed by wavering. Concentration is developed by upasana, and third impurity is ignorance, that avidya removed by Vedantic enquiry. So these three layers of impurities are removed by different methods. Just like the metals come, for example, you take a ore and you want to extract, it's an iron ore, you want to extract iron out of it. How many processes you have to take it to? First you have to clean that, you do cleaning, so many processes are done to extract the metal from that ore. So same way, if we have to extract that self-knowledge from us, we have to go through so many methods. So for each one, there are different methods. So, you know, so nothing is purified by one method. You have to go through several methods. So even if raga dvesha, if it is grossest, karma yoga. Then vikshepam, subtler one, upasana. Raga dvesha is the grossest. Can be done by karma yoga. Then vikshepa, wavering of the mind is subtle. Subtle than the external one. So you have to use upasana, and ignorance is the subtlest of the three. And for that, you have to go through jnana yoga. So Krishna says, jnana tapasa putaha. Putaha means purified. And become what? Madbhavam agataha. By getting purified by jnana tapas, they attain my nature by this method. Madbhavam, my nature. My nature agataha, they reach, they attain. So here also beauty is what? The moment that they purify themselves, they attain my nature. They don't have to wait for any more time. It is instantaneous. The moment they get purified totally, that is my nature. Straight away they reach. Jiva is, so jiva minus impurity is what? Ishvara. Jiva minus impurity equals Ishvara. So you remove impurities, you are naturally you are Ishvara. There is no, you don't have to attain, there is no time difference at that time. So to attain Ishvara, we don't have to do anything. So not that Ishvara is sitting in Vaikuntha or Kailasha, so you have to go reach him. No need. Remove your impurity, you are right there. Normally we go to Manasarovar, we go Parikrama, Lake Parikrama, then we go to Mount Kailash, and you go to Parikrama, and there is a Rajas lake there, so you don't go put your leg there because all your punyas will become. No. All those things, you don't have to go through any of those. Sitting wherever you are, you can realize the Lord. Once you remove your Atma Shatrus, your internal impurity. So the Lord is my very nature. So now it is covered. That is what actually Shankaracharya, he gives an example. When the sandalwood is wet, it's a wet sandalwood. It normally is a moist one, it gets covered with all the, you know, the moths and all that thing, right? The fungus and all that thing will cover the sandalwood. And it will even give a very, very bad odor. It is sandalwood, but when it gets wet, it can be surrounded by all this, it will give such a bad odor. But the moment you remove the whatever impurities are there on that, then you get the greatest flavor of the sandalwood. And that is what is. So because of all these impurities in us, we are not able, our own nature is not seen as great nature. So this is what we are supposed to. So Sangharacharya gives this example. So once the mass is removed, then not only the foul smell will go away from the sandalwood, the original fragrance of the sandalwood also will come. So all these things, foul smell will go away. Similarly, if anyone says, I am divine, we don't believe in that first. Normally we don't, because I am not. Yeah, I can never consider myself divine. How I can consider you divine? So I don't do that. How can be Lord divine? But the scriptures say, no, you are the Lord alone. It tells you all the time emphatically, you are the same Lord. Just rub a little bit, then you will understand who you are. You have to only take that extra step to rub yourself. You cannot wait for somebody else to come and rub you. You have to rub it yourself. Because these are all Atma Shatrus. External purity, you can go to a laundromat. You can clean up your clothes. But this one cannot be cleaned by a laundromat. You have to clean it yourself. Then you will find that unbelievable truth that I am. I minus this impurity. I am Brahman. I am the Lord Himself. I am the very nature of that Brahman. So, Ahankara minus Kara becomes Aham. Ahankara minus Kara. It becomes Aham. Aham is He. That is my true nature. Ahankara is the moment you get rid of this Ahankara. Then you become Aham. So, I am the Jiva. I always think that I am a poor jiva. I have no such things at all, no powers. I'm an ordinary being. But you are the highest being. That's what Vedanta teaches us. So this is called Jivam Ishvara Aikyam, the oneness of Jivam and Ishvaram. That's what Krishna talks here. So by thinking of me all the time and leaving these impurities away, then you will realize me, my nature, and you become one with me. यो वेदादौ स्वरं वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रतिदिनस्य